Thank you for downloading the Chase Smith Podcast. In this episode, I interview Michael McCarthy, former staff writer for Saturday Night Live, Sesame Street, Whose Line Is It Anyway, and Mike and Molly. He founded the writing programs at Second City and IO Chicago, and we talk about his love for teaching, his time at SNL and Sesame Street, and what work he is most proud of as a writer. Let's get it! So I'm here with Michael McCarthy. Michael is a former SNL staff writer. Writer for Sesame Street, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you can catch him on other various TV shows. But I know Michael from our time together at IO. He founded the writing program at Second City and is currently teaching at IO in Chicago, the writing program. Michael, thank you for joining me here today.
My absolute pleasure.
Great. I want to talk to you about your time at SNL and your other items on your resume. But one of the first things I want to talk about is you are an incredible teacher. And everyone can teach, not everyone can teach well. And so at what point did you realize that you have this gift and passion for teaching, and like what kind of started that?
Well, I would say I kind of fell into it. I mean, I also, along with teaching at IO Chicago, I teach at DePaul, and DePaul University has helped me sort of codify some of what it is to teach. I mean, yep. I'm grateful for them on many levels. But one of the things about teaching at IO is I have created and continue to fiddle with a curriculum, which is basically mine. And one of the reasons I love IO is that they allow me complete autonomy, which I don't know if that would be the case at other institutions, but
yeah.
I worked on the Second City main stage from 1990 to 1993. And in that period, I started teaching a 4-week workshop on how to put together a Saturday Night Live sketch packet. Mm-hmm. That led me to realize that improvisers, pure sort of Second City improvisers, really didn't know that much about joke writing. Mm-hmm. Because the humor evolves out of the relationships and the situations.
Right.
And we don't sully our hands with jokes. So I then created, what I wanted to do was to create, based on what I knew, because I've done everything I teach, is create a curriculum for people. Basically, what do I wish somebody had told me?
Yeah.
And some of that was what agents look for, not necessarily what a given TV show looks for. Mm-hmm. Because writing for television is a series of dominoes, and the first domino is get an agent. And you can't change that, no matter how much you hold your breath.
Right.
So my thing was to, I have an agent, a wonderful guy named Michael Lewis, and I just basically asked him a bunch of questions, like, what do you look for? You know, talk show portfolios, Saturday Night Live sketch packets, sitcom spec scripts, and TV pilot presentations. And I proceeded over the course of the last 12 to 15 years to kind of put together all the real things. And then I would also constantly interview people. And now all that's becoming a book. But the biggest thing was the goal, at least, abstractly, was what do I wish somebody had told me, and to live more in the world of practicality than kind of ethereal. And I thought it was very similar to what Del Close used to talk about, how with the beginning of improv, there was the Viola Spolin book, Improvisational Games for the Theater, and that was very airy-fairy. Mm-hmm. And then Del and Elaine May created what was called the Kitchen Rules, which I always loved. Elaine May's, she basically said, rather than all these exercises and, you know, these things, is tell me what I need to know to get off stage without being killed. And that was, to me, that was, I wanted that kind of authenticity to my writing classes. Because they very much have grown out of improv. You know, I am 25 years an improviser and still do it from time to time, so I can appreciate that. But mm-hmm. I also have this kind of knowledge of just having been on many staffs. Mm-hmm. So that's hodgepodgey, but how I got to, you know, creating the classes that you've taken.
Nice. And I know one thing that's helped me is whenever I've been stumped in writing is just to start improvising on paper. So I think it's so good that a lot of writing comes from improv. It's one way to work through that, I think.
I think, not to continue, because I could easily just become a quoter of how close I don't mean to, but he would say different entrances to the same house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, improv writing, and, you know, yeah. Like there's many different entrances. And mm-hmm. I think that's the case. Ultimately, it's all storytelling.
Yep. Yep. So,
and then, yeah.
Yeah. So was there one person in your life who like inspired you to become a teacher? Was there one teacher in your life that you're like, man, this person, like, I know they kind of birthed naturally, but there's got to be someone in your life you can point to that say, yeah, this was the person.
Wow. I suppose my parents were
sure.
Very, very good teachers.
Yeah.
And my mom was one of the, here very quickly, I think my mom is one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And that always, I never bought into that idea that women aren't funny. I think because I was raised by one of the funniest women. Also, I'm married to one of the funniest women. So
yes.
It's kind of a 1-2 punch that keeps me from drifting into misogynism. Yeah. The other thing is, I would say my mentor, Tim Kazurinsky, mm-hmm. who at the age of 24, really went out of his way to get me hired at Saturday Night Live, and then proceeded to show me how it was done. You know, like I wrote with him. Mm-hmm. So he did a very, very good job of, in terms of knowing what the show was, and then having worked at Second City and having sort of been infused with this, the integrity that the place gives you in terms of your work, mm-hmm. the idea of always ask yourself, what am I trying to say and is it funny?
Yeah.
And then Tim being very, very intolerant of bad work. You know, not being, you know, not coddling. You know, the idea yeah. that, in a sense, this was, he never said this, but I got you this job. Please bring your A game.
Yeah.
So that sort of what, you know, it was, I never ever took it for granted. And mm-hmm. so then I went from Saturday Night Live to Sesame Street, which was a complete quantum leap because they have no tolerance for innuendo.
Right.
And I had never realized how much innuendo was a part of my writing at SNL.
Uh-huh.
Because you really cannot have, you know, Big Bird turning to Oscar and going, hey, check out Maria. You know, that just... for one thing, Chase, you can't have Big Bird turning to Oscar anyway because both those Muppets are operated by the same guy, a guy named Carol Sweeney. So that's one. You never see them, you know, you never see them together.
Interesting, yeah.
But the... But that, I mean, that was the thing too, is that, so the Sesame Street was kind of the next step, which was because the goal is so pure,
mm-hmm.
you can't really fart around with
right.
goofy. I mean, it's like when you write one of those scripts, you get a list of curriculum points and you have to kind of go after it. And so that was a lot of.
Well, plus your demographic for Sesame Street, you got to keep the attention span of a 3 to 10 year old almost.
Right, right. And yeah, and also it was very much written at two levels. It was sort of the, mm-hmm. you know, initially the educational points, the curriculum points for the kids. And then we were very aware that adults were watching, you know, and adults for PBS. And
yep.
So you would throw in a joke about whatever.
Yep. We're watching that now. We're in the middle of that. My daughter loves Elmo. And I love the, like, extra effort the writers go to, like, keeping us entertained as well.
Elmo came on while I was a writer. Elmo's first year was my first year.
Oh, wow. There you go. So
we did, I got something through the censors. I had Elmo playing a game with, I forget his name, the actor, Gordon.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was, he had put a balloon on a string, and he would just hit the balloon, and he called the game that he created Boink.
There you go.
So Gordon, let's play Boink. Boink is a good game. It's good to boink. And I was, you know, at the age of 24, whatever, however old.
Is that a secret game the writers play at Sesame Street is what they can get through, you think?
Some.
Maybe.
But I remember just laughing hysterically, thinking, I was, and, you know, but, you know, it's very hard. And the thing, just to finish off with Sesame Street,
sure,
is that they're very, very smart. And they ask you to write at the height of your intelligence. And you, I mean, that helps. It's probably the only job that I was asked to write at the height of my intelligence. You know, that.
Wow, yeah.
Everything else, like any sitcom or the rest of it, is sort of, you're kind of, you're talking, you know, you're kind of not dumbing it down, wrong to say, but you're not, Sesame Street allowed you to just kind of flourish however you wanted, and I kind of miss that.
Yeah, so do you find more joy currently in writing or teaching?
Oh, great question. Well, I would say I love teaching. I did not expect to.
You teach a lot.
I do.
You teach a lot.
Way too much. I'm coming off of the winter quarter, three classes at DePaul and five at IO. That's eight. That's way too much. And so I don't intend to do that again. I remember Dave Pasquese, a friend of mine, had a great line just across the board, which was, seven is too many. No matter what it is, seven is too many.
Wives. Children,
Adderall, you know, whatever it is, seven.
That's good.
So, and I was doing eight, but I do really love. There are moments of discovery, and it's not one way. You know, that's a cliche. I learn more than my students, but there is, like yesterday. I had a talk show class and an SNL class, 12 to 3, 3:30 to 6:30. And we were sort of reading and brainstorming some of the desk piece premises in the talk show class. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much fun to kind of riff on those ideas and remembering, you know, the stuff that I had done in the past. And I'm working on film scripts and various pilots sort of on my own. And that's a separate kind of joy, you know, like you alone creating something and giggling is a kind of separate thing that's a lot of fun or is very, very joyful, can be frustrating. Uh-huh. And then there's also the community of being on a staff, of like being around the table, you proposing an idea, people riffing on it, and it just becoming 10 times better than you ever dreamed.
Yes.
Is exhilarating. But I do think it's a different kind of mentality that they, you do have to kind of shift gears from sort of the isolated, you know, working alone, quietly, and then versus, you know, shouting and it can also, working on a staff, I mean, one of the reasons it's hard, sometimes hard to be in the rooms is that it can be very brutal because, you know, comedy is very personal.
Last question, and I hardly, like, gosh, I'd love to talk, I'd love to have you back on at some point. I would love to have one focus on SNL and then other, so looking back at your whole career, teaching, writing, all of your accolades, all of your accomplishments, what's the one thing that you're most proud of, professional wise, not like family, not like that, like professionally, you're like, wow, was it your Sesame Street kind of writing, or is there something else that we don't know, or that you might have been humble about in the past that you're like, man, that was really good. I'm really proud of that.
Well, Chase, it's so funny you should ask, because I'm you know, as you know, I'm kind of plowing through all these handouts. Every week in my classes, I have handouts.
Yep.
And so I've gone through, I mean, the big thing I'm writing these days, the thing that I get up early to do is to kind of create this textbook. Mm-hmm. And I'm so the SNL class is 8 weeks, and I'm on week 7. which is, if you'll recall, creating a cast piece. So in it, I, you know, what I asked was, what are your five favorite scenes? What's your favorite work? Just like you're asking me. And I would say, so I've recently done some thinking about this, and I included in the current handout the sketch I wrote for Michael Palin, when Michael Palin from Monty Python hosted SNL. We did a scene, Tim and I wrote a scene called The All-New House of Mutton, which was a restaurant scene. It was very goofy, and I use it as an example simply because I think I could, you know, I could publish it because I wrote it.
Right.
But I think the thing that I'm the most proud of is at Second City, when I was in the back theater in the ETC, we did a 20-minute piece called The Last Liberal, which was during George Bush Senior.
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush. Because we'd had 8 years of Reagan, and then Bush was elected, the first Bush. And it was sort of like it came out of suggestions from the audience. Democratic Chicago was sort of sick of 8 years of Reagan.
Yeah.
And so we created this. I played a character called the Last Liberal in a black jumpsuit with a peace sign around his neck. And I was in prison, or I was in a museum, and people would come and look at the Last Liberal. And my character breaks out and runs all over Chicago. And basically, it was a 20-minute scene of about 12 separate mini scenes.
Yeah.
And so it had a musical quality to it. It was sort of like the second side of the Beatles' Abbey Road, in that it was very montage-y. And it was very funny, and also said something very powerful. And that really is why I love Second City, and why I love theater, and the opportunity to both be goofy and to actually say something profound, kind of in a, hopefully in an unpretentious way, is always, that's always available to you. You just have to kind of be clever about it. And I was very proud of the cast. The show was called America Light, L-I-T. And it was, it began the second act. And so I would say that's probably my favorite. And yeah, that's, it's just so funny you should ask, because I've recently done some thinking about it. So there you are.
Yeah, great. Michael, thank you so much for your time this morning. Hardly even got to talk about SNL and all that stuff. Hey, would you mind maybe, near the end of May, maybe do this again when SNL wraps up its season, we can kind of talk SNL a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be great.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so, so much. You have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you tomorrow at POV.
Great. Okay, Chase. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Michael.